When God begins to speak, the devil wants to show out. When there's a word from God, you will see a manifestation from the devil. Because he knows that that word comes to serve notice on him that his time is up. It reminds him that he don't have long to do what he wants to do. It reminds him and lets him know that God has given him a timetable, and all you got is this much time. And if you hadn't done it, if you hadn't destroyed them by now, oh, they belong to me. If you hadn't taken them out by now, they belong. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, we need to know that every time God speaks, when Jesus opened his mouth and spoke in verse 19, they brought the boy to him in verse 20, and the Bible says that he tore him. The spirit acted the fool right before Jesus when he saw him. When that spirit see Jesus on the scene, that's when that spirit will begin to act up. That spirit will begin to manifest. Oh, yeah, we got to know the difference between shouting and a demonic manifestation. We got to know the difference, but oh, come on and say amen, between them falling out in the spirit and somebody slithering on the floor like a demon. Come on and say amen. We got to know the difference. There's somebody speaking in tongues and then somebody else saying something than a demonic tongue. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, you got to understand there's a difference. Amen. And you'll know the difference because you'll know the spirit of God brings peace, but the demonic spirit ain't no peace, ain't no rest. Oh, come on and say amen. And so when we look at this, that we saw that the devil, he knew that he was about to get dealt with in verse 20. So he wallowed on the ground. He wallowed and he was foaming at the mouth. I wish I had somebody here. In verse 21, he said, and he asked the father, how long is it ago since he came unto him? And he said, of a child. Some things that we got going on in our life, we got going on and it was there since we were a child. Some personalities that we are protecting within ourselves, we need to come on and say amen. We need to regroup and reassess ourselves and realize that that personality was fostered by a demon. Lord, help me today. Oh, yeah, and when somebody tell you there's something wrong with that part of your personality, it's no time to buck up. It's time for you to get down and pray, Lord, help me to break this. I've been like this since I was a child. There's no need in me being jealous when somebody else is being blessed. There's no need in, oh, come on and say amen. There's no need in me being envious and seeking to hurt other people when they've never done me no harm. That's a personality flaw, but it was fostered by demon. It's no need in me having an attitude with people when they done me no wrong. Wish I had somebody that understood what I'm saying, but it was fostered from a child. No need in me bucking against authority and people who have authority over me, because as a child, you thought it was cute when they cursed and they were disobedient. And oh, come on, when they said no, when you told them yeah, and they said no, and they cried and you didn't spank that tail, something wrong. You need to foster the right personality rather than letting them come up from a child with no discipline. I wish you don't have to say, man, that preaches anyway. That'll preach here, that'll preach there. I can go to hell and preach that. Oh, come on and say, man, and save somebody. Oh, yeah, come on. The Bible said train up a child in the way that they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. But if you don't put no training there, what do they have to go back to? If you didn't show them the way from the beginning, what can they go back and say? I've learned something. I realized mama was right. You say it all the time. I realized mama was right when she said this. I realized daddy was right when he told me that. You always quote mama and daddy. So what about you telling your children some stuff that'll help them out? Is there any praying men in the house? Oh, yeah. Any praying mothers in the house? Any praying people in the house? Oh, yeah. We got to see here that it's, we got to get to a point to where we are not afraid of the manifestation that the devil might bring, because there's a word for that. There's a word that'll bring a deliverance. Oh, yeah. There's a word. The word, it comes to prosper the thing whereunto God sent it. And since God sent his word to overcome the devil, to prosper me and you, we need to use the word against the devil. We need to let the devil know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Come on and say amen. We need to let the devil know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver me from them all. I wish I had somebody here. We need to let the devil know that my God, God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I wish I had some praying people that understood. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church this morning. Oh, y'all knew it been a couple of weeks since I preached, so you might as well have got ready. Come on and say amen. So it may be a little longer than you want it to be, but I'm trying to get there. Amen. Let's look at what happened here. The Bible says in verse 23, and Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. We got to get to a place where we really have some faith. Yeah, the Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I can't see it, but I know God.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
I really believe you can do better than that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. Meet us in the text, tailor the truth, so that every hearer's heart again may not just hear the word, but heed the word. God, let the Holy Ghost do in us individually and all of us collectively what you desire for your glory and our good. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you're turning there, certainly I want us to look at the fact that Paul is dealing with his thankfulness for the believers and their prayers and all that they've done to bless his ministry and his work. He's making them clear about his position in Christ and how, again, he desires the grace and peace of God, not only on his life, but on their lives as well. And really it breaks down to understanding that we have been called into fellowship with God, that it is our business to understand that God has created us and called us into the place of fellowship, and we are never ever complete. We are never ever all that we ought to be, nor can we ever accomplish all that we ought to accomplish outside of the fellowship with God. Now, this is important to understand. I just want to lift out verse 9 right quick just to focus in on that. It says, God is faithful. We can stop and shout right there. God is faithful. Now, based on this, it makes clear for us, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, God is faithful. So if God is faithful and he has called us to fellowship with his Son, it is important for us to recognize that the calling is more than just a call. It is more or less a meaning and a purpose for life. It is as if it were, no matter whatever else is God has purposed your life to be, it is connected with this fellowship in his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, all of our purposes may differ in life, but all of us are connected purposefully with Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. Now, you got to see the relationship. It's God's Son, the second person in the deity, and then our Lord, the one who is over us and over all things. God has connected us to the one who is over everything and all things. And so when we recognize that he has called us to this kind of fellowship, then it's important for us to realize that we must make fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ a conscious effort of our daily life and or vocation, if you will. It is a calling. It is what God intends for us to do and to know. And there are some things that I want to share with you about this, because one of the ways I believe the enemy robs us of our joy and robs us of our peace and robs us of our prosperity and robs us of our success, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is because he robs us of our fellowship with our Lord. Now listen to this. There are three things I want you to jot down about fellowship that you need to know, and we're going to just touch as we move through the text. First thing is, fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ is your responsibility. It's your responsibility. The text is making clear you've been called to this fellowship. But secondly, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is our reasonable service. Our reasonable service. That ought not be a hard thing. It should not be something that's difficult for us to do. And then thirdly, fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our reward. Reward. And when you begin to look at that, again, the first one we talked about, responsibility, comes out of 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. But then when it talks about not only being our responsibility, but being our reasonable service, comes out of Romans 12, 1. And then when we talk about our reward, here it talks about Psalm 16 and 11, talking about in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And so it again tells us all of the different things that are connected with that as a reward for us being in fellowship with him. And so it's important for us to realize the enemy does not want us to be in fellowship with the Lord on a daily basis, because, again, his benefits are new every day. Well, if we're not with him, connected to him, then we may get some of them, but we certainly don't get all that we're supposed to get. And so it's important to realize how the Lord wants us to do this thing called fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just ask you a question. How many hours are there in a day? 24 hours in a day. How many of us can honestly say we tithe our fellowship with the Lord in a day's time? 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. How many of us can say we give a tithe of the day to the Lord? I don't want you to raise your hand. Didn't look like you were going to do it. But just a tithe of fellowship with the Lord, whether that's reading your Bible, whether that's praying, whether that's talking about the things of God, whether that's in fellowship with believers who are in a spirit of worship and thanksgiving to the Lord, spend a minimum of 2 hours and 40 minutes a day, a tithe of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, many of us don't understand that our values determine our priorities. Now, let's look at values. What are values? Values are beliefs of a person or social group that's tied with emotional investment. Listen, it is beliefs of a person or social group that's tied with emotional investments. In other words, when you have values, you recognize that it is a part of your belief system. You believe in that thing so much so that it does something to you because it is connected with your emotional investments. In other words, you feel this thing. It means something to you. It's connected to your heartstring. And so when something is that valuable to you, you feel it. There is a connection underneath the skin that ties it with your passion. It's not just something you do. You do it because you love it. You do it because you desire to do it. And so your values, again, determine your priorities. What are priorities? Priorities are statuses established in order of importance or urgency. So when you talk about priorities, you're talking about something that's already established, a status that's already established in the importance of whether it is high on your scale of importance or urgent in terms of what's important for you to do. So again, if values determine your priorities, then all you need to do is look at your life and consider what you call important. And what you call important is valuable to you. So if it's valuable to you, then it is also a priority to you. Look at your life, look at your day, look at your checkbook, and it will determine by what you've already established as what is a priority in your life. And then add in this issue: is Jesus a part of your priority? Is fellowship with him a part of your priority? Because remember now, it's your status already established. You hear what I'm saying? It's what you already do. It ain't what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have a little talk. But you had a little talk with him. How long did you talk to him? You opened your Bible. You read your Bible. How long did you spend reading it? You talked to some folk, encouraged them in the Lord. How long did you do that? Did it equal up at least to 2 hours and 40 minutes in a day? One man was talking to another friend of his who was a successful businessman, and he noticed he had not been coming to church regularly, and he called him up and he said, I want to talk to you. And he said, okay. So he made some time to talk to him, and he said, listen, I'm concerned about, you know, your lack of fellowship in service, and I know lack of fellowship in service can also be tied to a lack of fellowship in private. And he said, I just want to know, how are you in the category of spending time with the Lord? He said, man, listen, things are going so great and business is pulling me at every end, and I mean on every end just pulled to, I really don't have the time. He said, now even on the weekends my days are filled and I don't even have time for myself and my family, like talking about. And the man said, listen, he said, I know you're a businessman and a lot of what you're saying is connected with business. He said, but if I were to give you $100 to spend 10 minutes with the Lord every morning, would you do it? He said, I couldn't do it. He said, if I gave you $200, would you find 10 minutes, just 10 minutes? He said, no, really, man. He said, $300, 10 minutes a day with the Lord. He said, I think I can do that. I can find 10 minutes, $300 a day. And so the man said, what you just did was put a value on your time. And you have said that time is more valuable in terms of profit than it is in terms of fellowship with God. So what you've just said is your values determine your priority. And so if you had $300 a day, if you could assure yourself that you'd get $300 to spend 10 minutes with God, you would do it, because your value system says that your time making money is more important than your time spending with God. Now look at that and think about that, because so many of us are like that and we don't understand this. He met another friend and he was having issues, and part of these were health issues. One of the reasons why, you know, he said, you know, he couldn't come to church was because, you know, he had to spend time dealing with his health-related issues, et cetera, et cetera. And so he asked him, he said, wait a minute, you need God, and yet you stay away from God. You know, I know you go to the doctor, I know you take medicine, I know you do all of this, but you can find time to go to the store, you can find time to go take care of business, you can find time to do this, that, and the other, but you can't find time to have Bible study or worship with God a couple hours out of a week. He said, I just don't have it. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, if you were put on dialysis, he said, and you had to be on the dialysis machine at 3 a.m. three times a week to live, he said, would you do it? He said, of course, man, that means my life. Values determine our priorities. And so when you really determine how important God is to you, then you will set a priority as to where God fits into your life. Don't care how busy you are. Don't care how sick you are. Don't care what's going on in your life. Don't care what is connected to your life. When God is more valuable than any and everything else in your life, He has a prioritized position where nothing comes before Him. Now, God wanted me to share this word with you today because so many of us are robbing ourselves and robbing God of the intent of His purpose for not only calling you into creation, but calling you into fellowship with His Son. Listen, I don't care what ministry you serve in. I don't care what church you attend. I don't care, you know, what your religious beliefs are. If you do not spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal and intimate way, you're saying to God, my whole purpose, my whole value in this life has been made clear that you are not a priority. Now, listen at this. Whatever you're doing, may I ask you a question? Is it really more important than God? Whatever you have, whatever you've accomplished, wherever you have arisen to and have arrived at, is it more important than God? Then why is it we can't find 2 hours and 40 minutes in a day to spend in prayer, in study of the Word, in fellowship, meditation upon the Word and the things of God, in doing those things that unite you in intimacy with God, and more especially with His Son, who came to save your life, who came to be with you and to give to you that right standing with the Father, who would not be here if He had not stepped in your place and done for you what you couldn't do for yourself. And yet we find ourselves too busy for the Lord. Look again at this word, 1 Corinthians verse 9. God is faithful. That, regardless of what follows in this verse, when we say God is faithful, all we have to do is look over our lives and see when we were not faithful that God was still faithful. When we were not faithful to what we promised Him, when we were not faithful to the study of His Word, when we were not faithful to spending time in prayer, when we were not faithful to tithing and giving to His work, when we were not faithful in every area as related to God, the Bible says God was still faithful. Matter of fact, it didn't say God was, it says that is His position, and that will always be His position. It's a position of faithfulness. So God is faithful. So if God is faithful, listen, then that ought not be a problem with us being faithful in our fellowship with His Son. He called us for that. You were created for fellowship. Matter of fact,
You can never blossom and bloom, develop and be all that God's called you to be outside of that fellowship. Outside of that fellowship. Man, he'll put a glow on you and he'll put a glory in you that will transcend all your troubles, your issues. He will put a peace that passeth all understanding. Listen, when you keep your mind stayed on him, man, you won't have to worry about depression if you fellowship with the Lord. Depression and oppression and all of these things cannot suppress you when you are in the presence of the Lord. Listen, when you begin to look at this and understand this the way that God wants, one of the reasons why we deal with a lot of the stuff we deal with is because we've left God out of our plans. We left God out of our operation. We left God out of our priorities. And so we usually call God when we have an emergency. We usually call God when we have an urgency. We usually call God when something that's valuable to us has gone wrong or has gone amiss or something isn't right in our lives. But listen, if we were in fellowship with him, if we were seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he would have added everything we had need while we were in fellowship, so much so that we wouldn't have even had to ask for it. And that's one of the things that we've got to realize. Above our successes and above our accomplishments, above our services, above our jobs, and above those things that we have esteemed as valuable in our lives, Jesus should be first. Look at your finances. We'll pay our house notes before we pay our tithes. We'll pay everything almost before we pay our tithes. Now, God says, that's mine. It belongs to me. Well, now, if we were, again, honoring God, loving God, and valuing God as first in our lives, would it really be a problem paying the tithe? No. No. Because here's what you know. You can get another house. But can you really get another God? Yeah, you can get a God, call himself a God, but can you get one like our God? Ain't but one. That really is none other. He is it. And so what you've got to understand is if you really love him, then you love his word. And if you love his word, you believe in it, then you operate in it because it's a part of your belief system. Why are we living beneath our privileges? If you believe it, it's a value system. It's a part of what you have established as worthy and worthwhile. Everything you believe in, you adhere to it in a way that you receive good from it. But listen to this. You also give glory to it. If it's a loved one, when you speak about it, you give glory to it, but you also get good from it. So again, when you put everything that's valuable in its proper place, you give glory to it, but you also get good from it. What more, who more, can you glorify more and get goods from more than God, who is faithful? What do you have need of, and you've spent time with God and you've given it to God that God hadn't fixed or is fixing, and who will take care of it for you? Who more than God, when you throw your complaints and your cries and your issues on, will take them and not tell them to nobody else, but he will work it out for you. He will do what you can't even do for yourself. Who other than God will pick you up and turn you around when you've missed the mark and fallen short and you've deliberately gone opposite of what he says, but he loves you with an everlasting love that he doesn't give up on you, turn his back on you, turn away from you, but still loves you and provides for you? Who better than God? And yet we don't spend no time with him. But we'll pre-record our shows. We got to be at work. Oh, man, we praise God and thank God for DVR or TiVo and recording apparatuses and all the rest of that. So we found time that when we've got to be at work to record what's important to us. How many of us got religious shows pre-recorded because we couldn't see them while we were at work?